You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in. I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, you got it done anyways, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we thank you for it. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at Time for an Awakening Media. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed and click on that and check out the programs that are dated and titled. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays today. This evening, all times are going to give our Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. After Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with your host, Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesday Then on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC on Wednesday from 8 to 10 as well. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening. That's right. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Fridays. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Nah, it ain't me. It's Sister POC with her program Revive. And POC stands for Proof of Consciousness. Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Once again, and the number to call us is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com, and you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. If you're in the Atlanta area, and I was just over at the Greenbrier Mall checking out the science fair, which is fantastic, these young folks at Greenbrier Mall, and they have kiosks, WeBuyBlack. They have all kinds of good stuff for you. So check out WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Bomani Bataihembe will be my guest in the second hour. So all the questions that you need to ask about repatriation and investments and when the next tour will be and so forth and so on, the flights, the transportation, and all kinds of good stuff, well, hey, he'll be there to talk. He'll be there to tell you. But if you cannot listen, you can give him a call at 404-931-9429. He has a trip. He has a tour planned in May. And he's going to tell you how you can join him on that tour. If you want to see pictures from previous tours, Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, YouTube.com/Bomanti2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna, books, and much, much more. That's right, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End. Number to call is 404-549-8676. They're open Wednesday. They're closed Monday and Tuesday. They're closed Monday and Tuesday, open Wednesday through Sunday. And give them a call. They have clothing, furniture, artwork, artifacts, Kwanzaa kits, the red, black, and green shoes, all kinds of good stuff. But they also have a history class, Know Thyself. Brother Olatunji is the instructor, and it is free and open to the public, 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. on Saturdays. Every Saturday, free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30. Know Thyself. But if you can't and you want to get that information, they'll sell you a multimedia library, the most extensive cultural library of its kind. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is currently 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. So check that out. Check them out at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. There's another bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall right near the kiosk that we buy black at, and that is the Meddu Bookstore. The Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check them out. If they don't have the book you're looking for, I'm quite sure they'll get it. Another bookstore that I definitely promote, and that is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Brother Kehinde Ajamu is the owner, and there is light in the Black Dot. Cafe Ulu and Us Lifting Us. Ulu, Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Check out our website, usliftingus.com. Become a member. Become a person who wants to get a share to support Ulu. And we also pull our money together. That's what Ulu's about. It is a cooperative of pulling our money together to buy, to develop goods and services for our people. We created Cafe Ulu, located in the Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. Open Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. We're known for coffee. We have African coffees, Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenya, Ethiopian, where coffee started, but also have other coffees from around the world, Papua New Guinea, Nicaraguan, Panamanian, Brazilian, you name it, we have a Colombian. We also sell loose teas. Everything at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Everything. Check out the website, Cafe Ulu, CAFEULU.com, CAFEULU.com. Also, too, we have the delicious vitality drink, Ambrosia, developed by my good friend, Brother Novak Young. Ambrosia. It is a drink. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as chlorophyll, and cinnamon, and aloe, cayenne, and spirulina. Check it all out for yourself at Cafe Ulu. Also, they have a lot of good programs. Sister Akina develops nice, good programs. We got a jam session on Tuesday. So tomorrow, if you ain't doing none, tomorrow evening, around about 5 to about 7, 8, we have a jam session. If you are a musician and you haven't jammed in a while, but you want to bring whatever instrument that you are good at or anything you're good at, and then you can come and jam along. I tell you, about a month ago, there was a brother plays the harmonica. No, excuse me, I apologize. Older gentleman, elder plays the harmonica. This brother played kalimba. Yeah, it was outstanding. What a jam session that was. Man, Sister Onsheka Ray, a couple of other brothers. It was beautiful. Akabin Institute and Akabin House, 20th anniversary celebration, Saturday, March 2nd, at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta, Georgia. That is east of the West End. East of the West End. If you're on Abernathy, just continue to go straight on Abernathy, and then you can turn right onto Metropolitan Parkway. And it's right there, the Sweet Spot. And that is going to be March 2nd from 12 noon to 6. It is the 20th anniversary of Akabin Institute. And I will tell you later how you also can contribute if you cannot make it there, because the work that Brother Baba Barudi and Yaba Rudi are doing is vitally, seriously important. Educating our children. Vitally and seriously important. And ye say, Sam, this is the Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. I'm going to go back on the 9th and the 10th, as well as, of course, today. I always will read the affirmation of the day. But because in these daily affirmations, these are some dynamic contributors, of people that who he has taken a snippet from, and he elaborates on them. This is Ikewe Arman. February 9th. Those who offer themselves up to be killed, to be maimed and driven insane, those who go beyond what is even possible for other human beings in their pursuit of revolution, they are its essence. Ayikwe Arman. This is Brother Baba Barudi. It is inherent in desperate situations for underdogs who pull all of their energy into extraordinary efforts to make up for lost ground and gain an impossible victory. Although commendable, extraordinary efforts are risky. With them, caution is always in order. For with great risk comes the possibility of even greater loss, of losing it all permanently. That is why those who would risk it all for free, our people, must be doubly assured of each thought, each statement, and each step they take. In risking our children, our future, our ancestral heritage, nothing can be left to chance. Warriors must have the greatest of confidence that what they do will succeed. This warning is not given in an attempt to arrest the righteous exercise of warrior energy, but it is but a thought to consider in light of the fact. For many warriors, the rage of the ancestors that they seek to express is not carefully considered as to the real functional outcome of its expression. The unconsciously sacrificial character of bona fide revolutionary nation builders often turns frustration and desperation into rash, thoughtless, reactionary behavior. And that is exactly what our enemies need in order for them to continue their reign of death, destruction, and domination over us. Affirm. I carefully consider the risks I take for my people. Affirm. I carefully consider the risk I take for my people. February 10th. They never learn. We will never give up. They never learn, and we will never give up. Akua Njiri. On December 4th, 1969, agents of the supremacist state descended upon the home of Fred Hampton, charismatic, outspoken leader of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party, and Akua Njiri, then pregnant with their child. Aided by worthless, treasonous Negroes, a gang of these barbarians used the cover of deceit and night to steal the life of one of our most determined workers from us. But he has taught us they did not kill the revolution. Out of his ashes rose a son, like so many other sons and daughters born of hatred and love, sworn to bring truth to bear on the African consciousness. When will these fools learn that struggle is our nourishment? Obviously never. No problem, because we will never give up. Affirm, I will never, ever give up. Affirm, I will never, ever give up. February 11th, the family is an army, an Akan proverb. There is no generation gap for traditional Africans. The generation gap openly promoted by Western media today is no more than one of their cultural norms. Their cultural norm, not ours. Their disrespect for age and competition for power and privilege knows no age boundaries in their society. It is a function manufactured by Europeans for others so that they appear normal in their ordered version of chaos. So when we see Africans embracing and acting out this function, we know that it is the result of their confusing themselves with Europeans. In our traditions, personal freedoms do not extend to the arrogant who ignorantly and disrespectfully address and question their elders. In our tradition settings, there is no external cultural pulling our children away from us against our traditions. For the same basic aforementions, serious sibling rivalry is virtually unheard of. There is no vicious, unrelenting competition between brothers and sisters, as in the individualistic nuclear European family where the greatest emphasis is on individual rights and not on responsibility towards each other. Youth in traditional African society learn to automatically share information and resources with their siblings. The priority of older youth to their younger siblings is what their care and upbringing. They like their parents, take a great pride in demonstrating their ability to mature and mature character and care for the education for their younger brothers and sisters. Affirm, I am one with those who come before and will come after me. Affirm, I am one with those who come before and will come after me. Ashe. The Yense say some revolutionary thought. I hope everybody is well today. I appreciate you listening this past Friday when I gave the tribute to Dr. Carter G. Woodson, a man who I admire and respect deeply, along with the other heroes and sheroes of our people. I'll often mention that the same time that Dr. Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week in 1926 in February, and I mentioned why that is, Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote a book called The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. And her book has a saying about her book that she says, I have dug up. And see, what she did is the same as the other brothers and sisters of that time who were committed to reclaiming and recapturing and restoring our history, because they understood and knew that the lies that the European was saying was not true. That our history did not begin in our captivity. Our history is thousands of years old. She says, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or cowardly scholarship in our race dare not refute. And this is the most profound part of the quote. How can a leadership point a way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And our leadership today is still utterly ignorant of the past. So, brothers and sisters, we have much work to do. Today we're talking about Africa for the Africans and what beauty and grace that Africa has to offer. Some of you may have heard, TED Talks. TED Talks on the internet, particularly on YouTube, go through a gamut of subjects and presenters talking about specific things. The one that, of course, has grabbed me the most is Sister Malance from Sierra Leone. And she's talking about her country. Some of you may have heard it. Some of you may have not. But Sister Malance, as she goes through this, it is really beautiful. It's fantastic, I tell you. She's very pointed. And she states unequivocally, you know, what Europeans have done. And she talks about her land. So we're going to talk about Africa, but then after that, we're going to talk about the right to return. And then we're going to talk about, take a break, and then have my good brother, Bomani Tahembe, on the phone with us. And he'll talk about the tour upcoming and what it's going to take for you to be a part of that tour. Brothers and sisters, this is Sister Malance.
Good afternoon. I am Malance, and I come from the richest country in the world. It is located in the richest continent in the world, in the west of the richest continent. My My country is called Sierra Leone. On the surface, we are blessed with infinite beauty and abundance of flora and fauna, producing the most exquisite harvest of coffee, cocoa, fruits, vegetables, and caoutchouc. You name it, we've got it. We also have diverse wildlife and vast marine resources. And waterfalls and rivers. On a deeper level, we are blessed with the real treasures the kings and queens of this world desire. This was the largest alluvial diamond ever found. It weighs almost 1,000 carats, 969 to be precise. This beauty was found by an old lady in her backyard about 2 years ago, 125 carats. Some people mine gold in their backyards. That's quite common. Besides gold and diamonds, we have about 20 precious minerals that have been discovered as of today. We recently started extracting huge petroleum reserves that have been discovered. We have platinum, ilmenite to make titanium, rutile to coat jets, iron ore, the largest iron ore deposits in Africa, the third largest in the world. Tantalite, also known as coltan, used in your mobile phones and computers. Bauxite for aluminium production. Zinc, chrome ore, copper, coal, phosphates, potassium, salt, lead, granite, asbestos, nickel, zircon. Furthermore, we have exquisite timber like mahogany, antique, and we have the most beautiful stems in the world. Of course, the West needs Africa's resources most desperately to power airplanes, cell phones, computers, and engines. And the gold and diamonds, of course, a status symbol to determine their powers by decor and to give value to their currencies. One thing that keeps me puzzled, despite having studied finance and economics at the world's best universities, the following question remains unanswered. Why is it that 5,000 units of our currency is worth one unit of your currency, where we are the ones with the actual gold reserves? It's quite evident that the aid is in fact not coming from the West to Africa, but from Africa to the Western world. The Western world depends on Africa in every possible way, since alternative resources are scarce.
This call is being recorded.
So how does the West ensure that the free aid keeps coming? By systematically destabilizing the wealthiest African nations and their systems, and all that backed by huge PR campaigns, leaving the entire world under the impression that Africa is poor and dying and merely surviving on the mercy of the West. Well done, Oxfam, UNICEF, Red Cross, Life Aid, and all the other organizations that continuously run multi-million dollar advertisement campaigns depicting charity porn to sustain that image of Africa globally. Ad campaigns paid for by innocent people under the impression to help with their donations. While one hand gives under the flashing lights of cameras, the other takes in the shadows. We all know the dollar is worthless, while the euro is merely charged with German intellect and technology, and maybe some Italian pasta. How can one expect donations from nations that have so little? It's super sweet of you to come with your colored paper in exchange for our golden diamonds. But instead, you should come empty-handed, filled with integrity and honor. We want to share with you our wealth and invite you to share with us. The perception is that a healthy and thriving Africa would not disperse its resources as freely and cheaply, which is logical. Of course, it would instead sell its resources at world market prices, which in turn would destabilize and weaken Western economies established on the post-colonial free.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That is Sister Malence at a TED Talk. I'm quite sure you've probably seen it. If you haven't, there is a longer version, and you can go to YouTube, put in TED Talks, or put in Sister Malence. Her name is spelled Malence. Her name is spelled M-A-L-L-E-N-C-E Bart, B-A-R-T Williams, Malence Bart Williams. It's just a dynamic piece. We're talking today about Africa for the Africans and us and our return. And one of the reasons for our return, of course, is the mean-spiritedness of this country and Europeans, period. And the evilness of Europeans, period. And okay, yes, Brother Oshie ain't talking about every European, but the reality is this. There is a collective mindset of Europeans, and the collective mindset of Europeans is that they must rule, they must dominate, they must be able to control and take, and that's what they have done. And of course, when we talk about the problems that happen to us, particularly here in this country, what is their line? Go back to Africa. This is from Atlanta Black Star. I'm going to read two articles from Atlanta Black Star. The first one is, bigots are yelling for American African people to go back to Africa. But what does it mean? And is it possible for us to return? Of course it is. And Brother Bomani, after the break, will. If you have any questions, please stay on the line and give questions for this brother, because, hey, maybe you can go. Back to Africa is a phrase du jour for racist Caucasians, particularly when used as part of their bitter, angry, expletive, latent rant against American African people. There are so many examples of the popularity of this insult that these days a Beaumont, South Carolina teacher told an American African high school student to go back to the continent after he refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. In Virginia, the Sons of the Confederate Veterans told the American African community to go back amid calls for the city council to remove the Confederate flag from a local museum. An American African student at Southern Illinois University was told the same thing when she was confronted by Donald Trump supporters in the residency hall. And at Trump rallies in Chicago and Cleveland, Trump supporters were heard yelling the phrase along with other racial epithets. If you call yourself an American African, go back to Africa. If you're African first, go back to Africa, said a Caucasian man to an American African woman at Black Lives Matter supporter at a Trump rally in Cleveland this past March. And recently, a Bank of America employee in Atlanta was fired for her racist Facebook rant. When a bigot says, go back to Africa, he or she is simply being nasty and irrational, says Dr. Wilson Jeremiah Moses, Freed professor of American history at the Pennsylvania State University, told the Atlanta Black Star. Moses is the author of Classical Black Nationalism, From the American Revolution to Marcus Garvey, and Liberation Dreams, Records of an African Reunion, 1853, among other works. I am not wise enough to know how one can best respond to these nasty and irrational sayings. To be sure, there is a nastiness to the phrase, particularly when accompanied by other insults, threats, and acts of violence. For example, in October 2014, when a group of American African protesters outside St. Louis Cardinals game sought to bring attention to the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, they were met with a crowd of virulent Caucasian racists. As Crooks and Liars report, the Caucasian fans responded to the American African protesters by chanting, "Let's go Cardinals," which in change to "Let's go Darren." See, Darren Wilson was, of course, the cat who killed Michael Brown. While attempting to initiate acts of violence, the Caucasian fans told the protesters to go back to Africa and call them jobless, while one of the Caucasian men called the American African activist a crackhead. "We're the ones who gave all y'all the freedom that you have," shouted one Caucasian woman at the American African number of the fans being chanted, "Africa, Africa," shorthand for the suggestion that they go back to the motherland. "Girl, Africa, Africa, just get out of here." As part of their assumptions among Caucasians is that American African folks should be happy to be in America with thought its kindness and with thought with through its kindness and generosity has rendered American Africans the most fortunate American African people. Excuse me, I'm going to say it this way. Has rendered American Africans the most fortunate African people around. There is a perverse, outlandish assertion that African people kidnapped at gunpoint and brought to these shores in the bellies of captive ships, and if they survived, were raped, tortured, and forced to toil in prison camps, which are called plantations, should leave if they cannot appreciate all that these good, nice Caucasian people have done for them. Of course, the parties to whom American African people should presumably return the favor come to North America from Europe, unannounced and uninvited, and stole the land from the indigenous people right from under their feet. Yet never are they called calls for Caucasians to return to Europe. And the indigenous people should. This sentiment was best articulated by conservative commentator Pat Buchanan in 2008. "First, America has been the best country on earth for African folks. It was here that 600,000 Africans brought from Africa in these captive ships grew into a community of 40 million, were introduced to Christian salvation, and reached the greatest levels of freedom and prosperity Africans have ever known." God. Buchanan wrote on his website, "Second, no people anywhere has done more to lift up Africans than Caucasians. Caucasian Americans, European Americans. Untold trillions have been spent since the 60s on welfare, food stamps, rent supplements, Section 8 housing, Pell Grants, student loans, legal services, Medicare, earned income tax credits, and poverty programs designed to bring American African community into the mainstream," he added. "Government, businesses, and colleges have engaged in discrimination against Caucasians with affirmative action, contract set-asides, and quotas to advance American African applicants over Caucasian applicants. While the concept of returning to Africa is a pejorative and insulting when articulated by Caucasians, it also represents a movement throughout history with Africans and Caucasians involved to back to African movements. Sierra Leone and Libya in the 19th century, Marcus Mosiah Garvey in the earlier 20th century, and Pan-African activists and intellectuals such as Du Bois and Kwame Nkrumah and Kwame Ture settling in West Africa. It is a complicated history." In the latest edition of From Slavery to Freedom, John Hope Franklin gave a nuanced analysis of the multiple and complicated reasons why some Caucasians and American Africans support Africa deportation before the Civil War, said Dr. Moses. In that book, Franklin wrote that as early as 1714, there was a proposal to send Africans back to Africa. Caucasians believed that the cultures could not live together in harmony, and free African people could not adjust to life in America, and created a problem for maintaining the system of captivity. "There is no adequate history of American colonization society," said Moses, of the organization which helped relocate thousands of freed African people to what will become Liberia. "There is no satisfactory treatment of Henry Clay's advocacy of African deportation or Lincoln's decreasing interest in African deportation as he evolved from a Whig to a Republican. In my view, Lincoln was never convinced of the practicality of deportation for reasons that Alex de Tocqueville had articulated. I touch on my reasons for believing that Lincoln was not serious in my biography of Alexander Cromwell."
As for Jefferson, I think he was absolutely insincere about African deportation. Jefferson was a complete phony, and like many populists, he used democratic rhetoric to cover up atrocities, aristocratic programs. He never joined the American Colonization Society, and contrary to popular belief, never supported the abolition of Africans from in captivity. Jefferson's only call for ending the transatlantic captive trade, except in order to inflate domestic captive prices. I said, yeah, it's like a supply and demand, so the less you have, the more the prices go up. I would suggest that no discussion of back to Africa movements, either the Caucasian racist ones or especially the African ones such as Garvey, is complete without considerable explanation of the nair of race or culture relations, said James Lowen, the author of Lies My Teacher Told Me, Lies Across America, Sundown Towns, Teaching What Really Happened, and The Confederate and the Neo-Confederate Reader. During the Nair era, which began during the end of Reconstruction and lasted through the early 20th century, was a time of Caucasian extremism. I don't like to use the word supremacy. We'll say extremism. Jim Crow segregation, radical terrorism, and a loss of civil rights for African people. Going back to Africa was hardly irrational, given how race relations grew worse and worse after 1890. That needs to be explained, lest Garvey come across as a charlatan, Lowen, who taught race or cultural relations at the University of Vermont, as he told this to the Atlanta Black Star. Meanwhile, many American Africans today are crossing the Atlantic to live in Ghana. Once a major starting point of the trade, he's going to even call it trade, the captive trade, one of the first African nations to emerge from colonial rule, while millions across the Middle Passage by force via Ghana for a life of permanent enslavement in America, 40% never making it to the other side. Some of their descendants are returning for a better, more comfortable life because business opportunities and to rediscover their roots. Ghana has the Right of Abode program that grants permanent residency and dual citizenship to people of African descent, according to the American Association of Ghana, the African American Association of Ghana. 3,000 American Africans live in Ghana, most in the capital of Accra. So some people are going back to the motherland, but they are doing so on their own terms. As for the future becomes more difficult and more uncertain for people of African descent, the United States certainly more will consider that option. And I would agree. We should consider that option. Because the right to abode, especially if one knows about the declaration that just happened. This is an article that appeared once again in the Atlanta Black Star, June of 2015, which would be 4 years ago this June. Ghana's Right to Abode program attract more American African people from across the globe, but are marred by loopholes. Several centuries ago, Ghana was known as one of the starting points of that evil trade. Today, the modern state of Ghana is gaining a reputation for being a destination for American Africans or Africans in the diaspora who want to reconnect with their roots. Ghana currently offers the Right of Abode program, which allows people of African descent to gain permanent residency. According to the Ghanaian Immigration Act of 2000, the concept of right to abode under immigration law is that a person having the right of abode shall be free to live and come and go into and from the country without let or a hindrance. The Ghanaian residency program does have some stipulations. African people looking to resettle in Ghana must be at least 18 years of age, of good character, financially independent, and have not been convicted of a criminal offense and sentenced to prison of 12 months or more. The current law has some loopholes, which could lead to future legal problems. A content and policy writer for the Ghanaian National Chamber of Commerce, which is based in Atlanta,
There's a possibility that someone will attempt to challenge such a rule on the grounds of racial discrimination. What does it mean to be of African descent? There are cases such as that of Craig Cobb, a Caucasian nationalist, a man who discovered that he was 14% sub-Saharan African, that would be complex to resolve. Would he be a viable candidate? Perhaps the language needs to be more specific, although I'm sure of how one would go about that without being highly discriminatory. There are some confusion. To me, the bottom line is, you look African, you dark-skinned, even if you ain't, because I ain't dark-skinned, but I'm African. How do you identify? There are some, and also, too, to me, there should be some references, not just you just come. There are some confusion about the law, according to Sister Tamisha Rutledge, who is originally from Plano, Texas, but moved to Accra, the capital of Ghana, last September. The right of abode policy was introduced 14 years ago and has yet to be fully implemented, Rutledge said. Rita Marley, Bob Marley's widow, is the only person it has been granted to at that time. Rutledge said that there is a thriving community of African expatriates in Ghana, people from the U.S., the Caribbean, Brazil, other places. However, Rutledge said that there is a generational divide between the American Africans. Some American Africans settled in the country back in the 1960s when they were engaged to move there by Kwame Nkrumah. They were encouraged to move there by Kwame Nkrumah, Ghana's first president and leader of the Pan-African movement. Now there are newer American African immigrants like Rutledge, who has moved there to play a role in Ghana's ongoing development and pursuit of economic opportunities. Rutledge, who is conducting research on youth civic engagement and new media, is also working on a master's degree in communications from the University of Arkansas. She lived in Rwanda before moving to Ghana and is on a journey to travel to all 54 countries on the continent. She is part of a team behind a website and app called Tastemakers Africa. Website and app called Tastemakers Africa. The company is revolutionizing what the world thinks about the travel in Africa and helping travelers book unique experiences in African cities. So please remember, check that website out, Tastemakers Africa. Rutledge said one of the biggest challenges of doing business in Ghana is dealing with the irregular power supply. This has caused her to become a quite creative in finding business sites with regular power so she can continue working during power outages. Unlike Rutledge, Arkansas native Mona Boyd has been living in Ghana for more than two decades. She moved there 22 years ago with her husband and son and has taken advantage of Ghana's business potential. We also recognize the business opportunities available in Ghana, so we decided to leave our jobs in private industry and move to Ghana to open our own businesses, Ms. Boyd said. However, Boyd said it was a struggle when she first moved there. When my husband and I began our business, it was very difficult. The business infrastructure was almost non-existent. We had no business track record in Ghana, so we couldn't get a loan for over 5 years. Telephones didn't work most of the time. Finding properly trained manpower was extremely difficult. Nothing worked the way that was supposed to. Boyd said she knew several Ghanaians who returned home. Got frustrated and eventually returned to America. Boyd and her family decided to stick it out, and it has paid off. We stayed with it because failure was not a choice. We were tenacious and kept trying. I am so glad we did, because today we have two successful businesses and we're doing very well. She currently owns the Avis Rent-A-Car Company and also operates Land Tours Ghana, a travel company that organizes tours in several African nations. Boyd has also taken advantage of the Right to Abode program and now has dual citizenship. I first heard of the Right to Abode law in 1998, though the American African Association in Ghana. I applied for dual citizenship around the year 2000. She was concerned. She was concerned American Africans interested in the Right to Abode program might have trouble navigating through the local bureaucracy. Most American Africans know about the law, but they do not know how to go about applying for dual citizenship. It's difficult to know where to go to apply and to find out what is required. There are no written guidelines that I know of that provide instruction of how to apply for dual citizenship. Although Boyd seems to be doing well in Ghana, she still visits the United States regularly. I return to the States at least 4 times a year. Most of these visits are for business. Many of our clients are based in the U.S. I was born in the U.S. and America was my home for most of my life. I do miss the ease of doing things and the convenience of having everything readily available, but I love Ghana. And I understand where she's coming from. I've experienced it a few times, but the bottom line is the patience that we need to have and understand what has happened to Ghana, to Sierra Leone, to Senegal, to Cameroon, Nigeria. Colonization and the captivity of our people was a deep, serious disruption and is still causing a lot of conflict today, particularly because of neocolonialism and the despots and all the corrupt leadership. I'm saying to us, we must understand the potential for us as African people globally on a continent that has all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they don't want to damn pay for. We need to understand that it is in our control as African people, not just on the continent, but throughout the diaspora. Because I always said this, and I will continue to say this, the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet reside here in America. And what if these technologically advanced Africans who reside here in America finally decided that, hey, I've had enough of this bull. I'm tired of begging, pleading, and asking and marching and demonstrating and voting and all that bull. I'm tired of it. It's time to go home. It's time to take those skills and go home to work with our brothers and sisters on the continent, to build infrastructure, to build these highways, to build these roads, to build sewage systems, energy systems, sun and solar. I mean, sun and solar are the same. Sun, solar and wind. But you understand what I'm saying. The work is there. These in the modern world, where there's more and more people, the industrialization is moving towards a situation where you don't need humans anymore to run things. Computers and machines, artificial intelligence. When a guy said 40%, if you checked out 60 Minutes about maybe less than a month ago, where this Chinese dude who is American, but he's Chinese, and he's worked here in America, but now he works for China. And he's talking about, and he's helping China implement these technological advancements. Where in China, there are literally, we must understand something about, even though China's a big player, there is a lot of abject poverty in China. Yes, China looks good in Hong Kong. Yes, China looks good in Shanghai. Yes, China looks good in a few other, but China in Peking, but there are areas of China that is so deeply impoverished. And I'm saying, and what's happening with China too? They want that land. They want the resources. You have Chinese going into China, marrying African women in Uganda. You have Chinese now who have developed a police force in China. They have their own. I'm telling you, we, you know, everybody wants Africa. They're trying to get in there and we trying to leave. We want to come to Europe. We want to come to the United States. There's some of the best minds that are not American African, but are African, from Nigeria, from Ghana, from various countries, gone to school here, and they stay here. They don't want to go back home because they love all the modernization, all of the trinkets, all of the goodies of here in America, all the individualistic mindsets that make you feel vitally more important than anybody else. at the expense of other people. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. I need a break. When we come back, hopefully my guest will be with us, Brother Bamani Tahembe of Africa for the Africans, and we'll take some calls. So I'm glad that you're listening. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Be here with us. Also, other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. on Friday. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother. Excuse me. I'm sorry. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Yep. So I'm waiting on my guests, Brother Bomani Tahembe, and I really look forward to talking with him. He has a trip coming up, and I wanted to focus in on Africa. You know, I know I always talk about it, and I guess for me, you know, I plan to make that move. I know for many of our people, that is a move that that is, you know, for many of our people, there's, you know, they can't even comprehend that. They can't even comprehend. They, you know, we've been in America for generations, 400 years, brothers and sisters. For I think it's August of this year was signaled 400 years, whether it was Jamestown in Virginia or Point Comfort, I think, another place they said that we first landed in Point Comfort, Virginia, whatever the case is, it signals 400 years. And if we look at what has happened in these 400 years, and I ain't talking about, you know, okay, maybe I got my guest, caller, is that Brother Bomani?
Hey,
my dear brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, myself.
Good. I kept laughing when I the other day when I saw you at the science fair. And once again, brothers and sisters, the science fair for American African Independent Schools that happened. This was their 11th annual science fair. These young brothers and sisters do a tremendous job of putting forth information that is really vital, information on water and solar and radiation and food and all kinds of good stuff, do a very good job. I hope that maybe the Greenbrier Mall and the West End Mall would invest in a better sound system, because every time it's hard to hear the kids, and these kids put a lot of energy and work. Wouldn't you agree?
Use top-notch equipment if we're going to, you know, put our production. But, yes, absolutely. I guess the main thing there is, you know, the energy of, you know, participants could have been better, you know, and so on. And many other things. I mean, I don't want to be judgmental. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but in general, you know, I strive for us to, you know, to step our game up continuously. And
right.
To do our best. And, to, you know, and never regret. You know, it just seems like, you know, sometimes we're lacking that. We're lacking that consistent improvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, to me, it gets better each year, and I appreciate what the young people put forth for, you know, for the activities that they have. I mean, it's beautiful. And some of the boards are elaborate. They just got a good lot of good information, you know. Yeah. And then the handouts they have, they put together. So, I mean, you know, the young people do a very good job at the science fair each year. So, Brother Bomani, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Talk to us about what's coming up.
Yes, absolutely. Greetings, family. This 2019, we have our three tours. The first one going to Ghana, May 22nd to June 4th. And that give you four regions of Ghana: Western Region, Ashanti Region, Central Region, and Greater Accra Region. Another journey that we have is South Africa, Cape Town, and Johannesburg, including the surrounding areas around Johannesburg. And that is November 22nd to December 2nd.
Repeat that again. That's going to Johannesburg.
Yes, I have a roots and culture journey going to South Africa. Mm-hmm. We have schedules for Johannesburg and Cape Town.
Okay.
And they're around in areas including Safari at Johannesburg, and then the highlight, Soweto, which is neighboring to Johannesburg.
Right. Wow.
So that, and then the last journey we have for the year is the journey I just adjusted the dates that I'm working on changing it on the website and so on, is Ghana, December. This closeout journey. This one is December 4th to January 4th. So those who are in the school system, and that's the only time.
Oh, for the holiday, huh? You could set you could have the new year in Ghana. What's those dates again? And give me the dates again for South Africa.
Yes, South Africa is November 22nd to December 2nd. And then I have Ghana, last tour is December 24th to January 4th, 2010.
Okay. Now, when is the May? What are the dates for the May Ghana trip?
May 22nd to June 4th.
May 22nd to June 4th.
Yes, and family, if anyone is listening, once you go on our website directly, Africa for the Africans.org, right in the body, as soon as you get to the website, you see the list of tour dates and tour prices. And then on the left side, you'll see the tour links with 100% of all the tour information, itineraries, overview, visa details, what to bring, and so on. So it's the website is equipped with this full details for the tours and well laid out. And all itineraries include a flight schedule.
Okay, outstanding. I know. I know that for our people. A lot of our people, this is something that is a once in a lifetime, and our people need to take advantage of this, you know. And I know that for many of us, it's affordable, and it's something that we can definitely do, but there's also that fear, I guess, you know. I don't know. You know, and then so a lot of our people don't make that move like they should or could, you know. It would be great. And I know, how many people have you taken over your time? And what was your first tour, and how many people have you taken since then?
Our first tour was December 2006. Was 8 of us, and a total people I've taken along the 15 Ghana tours, plus one in Brazil, over 360 different people.
Over 260.
It's about 20 to 30 people, or this average 25 people.
Mm-hmm.
Or most tours generally 20 to 40 people.
Beautiful. Beautiful, I tell you. I appreciate what you are doing, what you have done, you know. Because, there are some of our people that don't believe or want to, make that kind of effort, that kind of sacrifice. It's unfortunate. But as I was reading from Atlanta Black Star, talking about the feelings of the people in this country, the feelings of the Caucasians, the white folks in this country towards us, and constantly talking about go back to Africa, you know. Particularly when we're challenging them on human rights, civil rights, dignity, and so forth, and they're talking about go back to. In fact, in the first article I read, where Pat Buchanan, former press secretary of Richard Nixon, and has always been advocating for, white rights, talking about how grateful we should be to be in America. You know, how grateful that, all the things that America has afforded us. In fact, America has sacrificed much for us, as he stated, by programs like affirmative action, welfare, all this other kind of stuff, against even whites themselves. So we should be thankful that we're here in America to experience what we experience.
Yeah, I got something he could be thankful for. What he can be thankful for is the fact that this is a straight 21st century high-tech modern day plantation system where, you know, some of us end up in the corporations and some of us end up in the prison system.
Right.
And some of us end up just scrambling in chaos. But certain percentage of our people have been able to make strides and do decent for themselves and
sure.
been able to take advantage of the opportunities. You know, people like myself who come from Jamaica. But it doesn't change the fact of what the system is. Just because
right.
people find ways to make a living and make it work. Like myself, it's painful, but you find a way to make it work and doable to work on what you have to work on to make your way out the system. And some of us, making the way out of that system is a dream. But America is just a glorified plantation system. So people like this guy and other people like to this make it seem like we're supposed to be thankful because. Or maybe we supposed to be feel like we're more privileged than other black people living in other parts of the black world.
And so it's
a shame, but these are the psychological things that if we look at it the wrong way, we end up worshiping and praising our oppressors and thanking them, for basically, oppressing us and basically taking advantage of us and doing what they want to do with us and creating a system to where we're boxed in.
Well, there's no doubt that Caucasians, wanted us to believe or make us believe because they want to believe that what they did, as heinous, as evil as it was actually good for us. It actually, our enslavement, our captivity, our taking us from, the bosom of our mothers and so forth and doing what they did was actually good for us because it exposed us. To Western ideas and ideology. It exposed us to Christian religion. It exposed us to what is good about what Caucasians believe is modernization and technology and so forth. And so we should be thankful for what they have done to us. We are privileged. We should be privileged more so than any other Africans on the continent and anywhere else in the diaspora. That's their mindset. And unfortunately, Brother Bomani, some of us believe that.
Yeah, that's where we get this disconnect from because it's not like we have a situation where all of us say, man, let's all go back to Africa and put our resources together and build a true black nation. I mean, that would be awesome, but the reality of it is, some of us are trapped in this level of comfort, to where that comfort, you just think it just means everything. You think that job, that nice house, and that car means everything, and it's just. These are just the trophies you get just to accept your oppression. But nevertheless, people like myself, yourself, and others, we just have to just keep on working on what we're working because eventually when we build more momentum in a country like Ghana and more things are being put in place, people will have a realistic way now to look at the situation. They'll see that we're in a situation where we're progressive and they're in the same old slave system where every few years or every decade or so, it's just being repolished.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're dealing with multiculturalism.
Right.
Everybody love each other. Everybody accept each other. We're all one people. But the people of color has the least amount of advantage and opportunities in that system.
Right.
And
that's by design. That's by design. And it'll be a situation for us until we come into our right mind, until we change it, until we develop the kind of leadership that will help us understand that Africa is our home and our base, no matter where we are. And if we have a free Africa, so then no matter where we are in the United States, Caribbean, South America, Europe, we are still free Africans. But now, because of the destabilization of Africa, the interpolation, the colonization mm-hmm. process, mm-hmm. so that many of us, we are not doing well at all everywhere we are. In fact, John Henry Clark said it best. We have no friends. All around the globe, where we are, we're dogged out. The Chinese, who are in Africa are treated with respect. The Caucasians treated with respect. The Arabs, whoever else, the Indians that are there treated with respect. But if anywhere else that we go, we are degraded, dehumanized, you know, disrespected. And so to me, the only solution for us as African people is to end that madness and come together, close ranks, pull our resources and make Africa what it's supposed to be, our home, our base. And so no matter where we are, we know that we are a free and proud people, and we have land and we have resources. We're not, you know, paupers. No, we have land and we have resources, but we have been treated like pawns in a game. We're treated like pawns to be sacrificed, to be kicked to the curb. But yet, I don't know, Brother Bomani, have you heard this piece by this sister named Malence? It's on a TED Talk. She's from Sierra Leone. She's a very smooth sister. Her voice is very, you know, very mellow. And she's telling a room full of Caucasians on this TED Talk, all these about Sierra Leone, how beautiful it is, but basically saying to them, why is it that we have all these resources and here you come with your money, your paper money with these, you know, Caucasians printed on it, and that has more value than our resources. Mm. And the reality is because the fact is that they have dictated the narrative. Europeans have dictated the narrative. And to them, they are of worth and everybody else is not. And so therefore, when they come into your land, they say, this is value. You know, and you say, what does it mean? Value to who and for what? And then, of course, they take what is of real value, the gold, the diamonds, the bauxite, the titanium, and you name it, and you go down the damn line. And so these are the problems that we as African people are having. And I think the best thing to do is to do what you're doing. Expose our people to the continent. How many are most of the people that take your tour first time travelers to Africa?
Yes, 90% of them.
90%. And how do you feel? I mean, what is their response to you about their trip?
I mean, people are excited. I mean, and most people, this is just, like I was saying, it's their first time, you know, even traveling out their state to go somewhere major. But, people are excited. They're open. They're happy the fact that they're able to see for themselves, you know, what one part of, you know, or an African country look like, the culture, and some people who been researching for a while, they're able to just, you know, compare it to their research. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, what people see is they see new opportunities, see a new vision, they see this a new way of life, because if you were born in America and you live here 30, 40, 50 years, when you're thinking about retiring and all those things, all you're thinking about is America, America. So me connecting people to Africa, it's a game changer for them. It opens their world up to where some people, you know, they go along going to other places. And, you know, I got one brother, you know, has been going all over the Caribbean and South America. And, you know, so it's something that we encourage people to do, because America would trick everyone in the world and say that this is the greatest and the best, that's everything and as good as it's going to get, you know. And sometimes, even if that's the case, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right place for you. So, you know, when people see the fact that Ghana is tropical, you know, there's a history and there's a connection with us as a stolen African people, and they see all the different things that they can invest in and the fact that they can do things that's different. You know, you can literally build an off-the-grid house, you know, get land and do that. Here, it's not so simple and easy. You have to go through a whole lot to just, and then you'd have to be literally further out from, you know, like, you know, you and I live in the Atlanta area, you'd have to be further out. But in Ghana, you know, you can do all those things. So And then, you know, we introduced people to Garvey Town, which is a future community that we're building based on 300 acres of land and 300 plots available for our brothers and sisters in the African diaspora who want to be a part of a unique co-op community to where we can work together to build and put resources together to develop, you know, a top-level operation community where we have what we need and we can do other things like business and investment.
That sounds so good. Has Garvey Town been appropriated? Is there some place they're saying that this is the beginning of Garvey Town? Has that been done?
No. It's just paperwork and
Okay, still in the planning stage, still in the visionary stage. I like the idea because for me, I'm planning to move to Ghana. And I've seen some videos of people who have moved to Ghana. And, of course, this being the coming up on the 400 years, the right to abode has been in effect. And tell us about the right to abode and how we can access that and how important that is.
It's something that I've heard other people explain and things, but it's something I don't get much involved in. What I do provide is we provide a business and investment conference dealing with all the legality and things dealing with citizenship there in Ghana. And at the same time, to record all of those videos and put it on my YouTube channel under, conference and interviews. Under repatriation and investment conference. And that link I'll share with them, and then I'll answer the question as best I can. And that link for our YouTube page is youtube.com/Bomani2007. And then you're basically scrolling down or going to playlists and you're going to look for the Ghana Repatriation and Investment Conference. I literally have several years of this recording of those conferences.
Okay.
But as far as these laws dealing with citizenship and things like that, you literally have to first begin a formation of residency where you want to be living in the country and, you know, you want to keep everything current and everything good. And then you have laws in place, like Greta Bo was one of the first ones. Now you have people going for citizenship now every time around December, January. You have a new class of people that are getting citizenship, so it's beginning to open up more. So that's more of the realistic path that people have gotten citizenship to. So talking about the right of abode doesn't really get us anywhere because it's like one or two people that we have known in the period of time that may have gotten that, and no one knows where they are. But Imacus, my brother DC, Rabbi Cohane, Mama Zulu, and so on, you know, we know that they have citizenship. So they've filled out their paperwork based on them living there and being a part of the country, and they submitted to immigration, and they have to pay a certain amount of fees. They have to do the swearing ceremony and that process. But you have to live in the country at least a good 5 to 7 to 10 years.
It's a long trip.
You have to live in Ghana 5 or more years before you can apply for citizenship?
Yes, exactly. The people who got citizenship, they have, number one, all of them have lived in the country a very long period of time. Some people have been there a little short of gotten it, so they are working on adjustments to, because I know other people have been filling out citizenship paperwork that haven't been there that long, but when you look at the people who it's actually granted to and the people who actually have it, you know, like Imaka has been here 30 years, and all of the people I mentioned been here well over 10 years.
Okay.
So I've yet to meet someone that's been there less than like, you know, 5 years or so that's gotten it.
Okay.
But they're working on, but the good thing about it, you know, because it's easy for us to look at Ghana and say for them to just do this. There's no other African country even offering this. So Ghana's been ahead of time in the repatriation movement and reconnecting us back. And this is just one process of where they've done it to where they've gotten a few for citizenship, then another year some more, and then in between some more people. So it's a process that's being worked out. And there was a mandate being passed from the African Union to incorporate the African diaspora into citizenship, but naturally, Ghana was already ahead of time anyway, so they just, you know, made it a little simpler.
Okay. Well, we got a caller. We have a caller has a question. Caller 414. Caller 414. Good afternoon or good morning. Okay, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thanks, Oshi. I'm enjoying your show. You know, I've been interested in traveling to Ghana for many years. But I have a feeling, I don't want to go by myself. I do have people, friends that are from Ghana. And I know, Oshi, you've been there and have told about some wonderful experiences that you've had. But I haven't been able to connect to a traveling program such as yours, in a sense where I would feel safe, because safety would be a factor traveling alone. And I think just the convenience. But on the other hand, too, in terms of promoting Ghana, you know, going through school, we really never learn much about, you know, Africa. It's not, or Ghana. It's not a general conversation for many African-Americans here. And they have, you know, kind of a resistance or a kind of, you know, where they feel, well, I can't relate to African people because they think they're better than us. African people feel I can't relate to American people. So there's kind of this barrier there in terms of, are we able to relate to one another? So one would say, well, the school books certainly haven't made Africa look like a place I want to go to. It's not promoted as this wonderful, beautiful place. And then, you know, they say, well, you know, your African ancestors, they sold you. And so now you hear that going around. That creates a little animosity. And then you hear, again, people saying, well, you know, why should I go over to Africa? I won't go to Africa. So I think, in a sense, that we have to really paint the beauty of Africa, of Ghana. We have to show pictures. We have to, what motivates a person to want to go and visit a place? What motivates, say, oh, I want to go to Florida, or I want to go to Paris, or I want to go, you know, to any strange land. What is it that motivates? How do we market Ghana in such a way that people say, I want to go there. I feel safe. I feel I can communicate, develop a relationship in a place never been before. Don't really know anybody. Don't know, you know, and need to feel safe because I'm so far away from home. So I think those are some of the things we want maybe to address. But I would love to go to Ghana. So if you could repeat that information and how to get in touch with you, I appreciate it.
Well,
thanks so much, Oshi.
Well, you're welcome. Yes, thank you. Thank you for the question. Go ahead, Brother Momani.
Yes, this is Bomani Tamba. Good. Appreciate you sharing that, sister. Our website is AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And that's just like how it's read, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. So that's AfricaForTheAfricans.org.
Okay. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I'll read you off my number, and you can just text me your first and last name and your email address, and I'll send you the information via email. The phone number is to text it to is 404-931-9429.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Could you address some of those other issues that are areas of concern?
No, I mean, as far as this is one of the situations, as far as our consciousness, us connecting to Africa, we're the only people that's responsible for that. So African governments, individuals like myself, who want our people to be interested, our general population of people to be interested in Africa, all of us have to just do a better job sharing and communicating. So I feel like it's a lot of information there on YouTube, Facebook, and other networks, and then just on general online. More of us have to just get online and search. Unfortunately, that's where it's at nowadays. everything is, you know, on the World Wide Web, somewhere out there, and all we have to do is really just search for it. So I make it as easy as possible for people trying to find myself. Most of what I've done is in Ghana, so if people are interested in going to Ghana, when they start searching for tours and searching for things like that, they'll find me. But also, all of us as a people have to also do a better job when people reach out to us and connect with us to follow back up with people and, you know, and share information. So we as a people ultimately is not doing enough to really reach out to the rest of us. So that's what myself and other people do more of, and I'm trying to encourage other people to do the same. Example, we have a lot of people who travel to Africa, but then again, they keep the videos and the pictures on their phone or on those devices, and it never gets out to the rest of us. So, some of us might have some nice, beautiful pictures of countries that I've never even imagined in going to Africa, because sometimes when you think about African continent, you only can think about five to ten countries, but there's 50-something countries. But those countries are also not doing a good job marketing individuals from their country. So all of us got to just be full in on this, but I'm all about repatriation investment. So we're building a nice movement, and this is really just, now, since our African ancestors have been stolen, there's been the movement haven't been much for us to reconnect to Africa. I think this has been the biggest energy right now, this generation. And that's because of the documentation. So the more we can do in that area, the better it'll be. But I'll definitely, you know, the things that you're talking about being safe, that's what we provide, a journey where you're connected to your brothers and sisters from African diaspora, where we can come together. So you get a chance to network and meet with new friends and people who think the same as you, but they may just live in a different state or different parts of the Black world.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And let me know if you got the phone number.
Okay, thank you. And I appreciate what it is that you're doing. It's much needed now. So thank you, and best wishes to you and your organization.
Absolutely, thank you.
Do you have the phone number?
I have the 404-931-9429.
You got it.
Oh, yeah. Correct, so I'll look up.
You got it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The trip, well, your first coming up trip, it will be in May. And you gave the dates May 22nd to June 4th. And what entails in that trip, and how much is it?
The tour is $3,700. It covers your flights from anywhere in the U.S. The flights are connected to Amsterdam. We use a Delta airline sequence. And then from Amsterdam, it's your partner's KLM direct flight to Ghana. So it covers all of your flight runs.
So do you fly out of Atlanta, or you fly out of D.C. or New York?
I fly out of Atlanta directly to Amsterdam.
Okay.
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 And then people leaving, other people's sequence, a flight connects them directly to Amsterdam.
Okay.
So the flight sequence is unique, so you don't have to pay for a connection flight. We just make it all work out in the booking. The other thing that's covered is lodging in the four different hotels that we have in the four different region, two meals a day, breakfast and gourmet dinner, transportation on our tour bus that takes you around based on the entire itinerary. And it covers access, entrance to all sites, activities, mm-hmm. business investment conference, and everything with the exception of the group tips, which is $50, and also our lunch is not included, or any type of camera camcorder fees. So basically, you know, it's an all-inclusive package.
That's a 14-day tour?
And what you're looking at is 12 days in Ghana.
Okay. Right, 12 days in Ghana and the other 2 days in travel. Because you got to fly from Ghana back to Amsterdam, then from Amsterdam back to Atlanta. On Delta.
You leave on Wednesday and come back on a Wednesday. So it's a 14-day itinerary.
Right. Okay. And so some of the activities while you're in Ghana, I know that those who are listening, if you would go to youtube.com/Bomonti2007, then you could see some of the tours that the brother has had in the last few years. He just came back in November. Is that November trip on the YouTube?
Yes, I have many videos. I still got many more videos, but I got a lot of videos already on there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I shoot videos in sequence. I shoot highlight videos. So there's videos of every single part of the tour. And in some cases, like the Cape Coast and El Mina Holocaust Dungeon, this unbelievable amount of videos and like business conference.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of videos. And just basically give everyone clarity of what we do, what we're doing, and how everything is arranged. That way they can process everything from pictures, videos, to the details on the website and make a sound decision.
And so you have transportation throughout the tours and where you're in Ghana, and you're going to be based in Accra. You're going to go to Kumasi. Kumasi, for those who are listening, is where the Ashanti are, and the Ashanti king, who is draped in gold, and they make in the Ashanti villages, they make beautiful ornaments and so forth out of metal. The Ashanti people, very beautiful people. And then you're going to go west of there, or you're just going to go back east?
Yes, the schedule that we have is 4 days Accra. So first day, we just welcome orientation day in Accra. Second day, we go out to the city tour. Third day, we go up to the mountains, Abri and Tutu.
Or Abri Gardens? That's in the,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Abri Gardens is beautiful. Okay.
The fourth day, we go to Prom Prom to go see Jerry, the Memorial Wall of Return.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yes, I definitely plan to do that. Definitely plan to go there and to network with Brother Jerry Johnson. Jerry Johnson is a brother who repatriated to Ghana, and he has established the ancestral wall. He has these paintings on these walls around his property, and they're just really beautiful of our ancestors from here in the States to those in Ghana and anywhere else that have done something great for our people. So,
yeah, absolutely. It is awesome, and that's another and what I have on my YouTube page are playlists. So you're on YouTube, once you go back to my page again, youtube.com/Bomani 2007, you just click on playlist and you'll see the ancestral memorial wall. It's 11 videos, and each video is about anywhere from 5 to about 8 minutes. And it shows it in a nice sequence, where Jerry explained each ancestor all the way down. It took us a little bit to record it, but we recorded 11.
Right on. Good job, brother.
So some people who may not be able to get to Ghana, the goal is just to show the documentation so they can see it. But nothing will ever be the fact when you're there, because all
right.
We can show you highlights. Outside of those highlights, we're doing other things. We're having a good time. We're socializing and, we're doing other things in depth.
So then when you in the tour, when you leave Jerry, who is in the east of Ghana, so now you're going to go back west, you're going to go back to Accra and then start to go to Cape Coast and El Mina Dungeon and to my good friend, Sister Amakus with One Africa?
Yes, sir, let me finish explain the sequence of the flow of the itinerary. So we're going to be in Accra the whole time in a neighborhood called East Lagoon at the Micklin Hotel. So we end up driving back from Jerry to go back to Accra, and then we'll get ourselves organized for 3 days in Kumasi. So we'll leave directly to Kumasi, looking at about a 5-hour drive.
Mm-hmm, right.
Micklin Hotel in Kumasi. And when we're there in Kumasi, we have 2 tour days. The first day we're doing like a city tour, and we're doing the craft villages. The second day we're doing the Ashanti Palace, and we're doing the Culture Center. So you have 2 days of this craft, unbelievable price. That's the best place to shop right in Ghana. I mean, so many things are made in that area, and you have great access to it at that Culture Center. Even though, you also have one in Accra, but these 2 days are big on shopping. So those complete the 3 days you're there in Kumasi, and then the 4 days in Accra. Now on to Takoradi. We're gonna spend 2 days in Takoradi. One day we get there, connect. Then next day we have a full tour day, and then the other day we leave in the afternoon or morning to go to One Africa, mm-hmm. and then we're in 3 days, and we have the Cape Coast, Holocaust dungeons. We have also Kakum National Park, where we do the canopy walk.
Oh, that is really great. Yes.
Right there, 2 days.
Yeah.
So 4, 3, 3, and 2.
Okay.
So, you know, you get around, and it's, you know, it's space where you have time to move around and everything on the 12 days.
Right.
So you're in Accra going back and forth, you know what I'm saying? Either you're going... You're going north into the country, and then you're going further west, and then you're coming back east. You know, it's an incredible flow.
Right. I can picture it. And then I've done it.
We're going to stop off in Garveytown at the end of the tour.
Now, where is Garveytown possibly going to be located?
It's located. It's from Imacus. It's a two-hour drive from Imacus on the way to Accra.
Oh, okay. Because Imacus, One Africa, she's in between Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeon in that particular area. So
yeah.
Garveytown is east of her. But it's west. Is Garveytown is east of her, but it's west of Accra, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So it's 2 hours from Accra and 2 hours from Cape Coast. So it's right in the middle of both major, two major cities on the southern part of Ghana.
Okay. I've been to a place that's pretty much in that area. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's it's escaping me now, but I'll come up with it in a second, because it is a nice place, and I stayed there the first time I was there, and it's right on the ocean, you know.
About Coconut Grove?
No. Oh boy, Oshie, come on, man! It'll come to me in a minute, but.
What city were you in?
Man, I apologize, Brother Momani, because it has escaped me. But it was a nice, it was kind of run down. And if there was some investment, this would be a great place for tourism, because it is away from Accra. It's on its way to, it's in between, you know, Accra and Cape Coast, because Cape Coast is Kumasi's after Cape Coast, correct?
Kumasi is in the center of the country,
right?
And then right. Cape Coast is on the southern part of the country, further west, and then Accra, southern part of the country, further east,
right?
Yeah, so yeah. It's kind of like a triangle. From Accra, Kumasi,
and Cape Coast.
Back to Accra.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a popular route to get you around that.
I was sent to ask a question. If a person has their ticket to go to Ghana, could they meet up with you, with your group?
Yes, they can meet up with our group and pay the land package.
Okay. So they have the ticket, and all they do is pay for the land pack, pay for the hotel, the tourism, the bus, and so forth to meet up with your group. Okay.
Yeah, the land pack is usually $1,000 less.
Okay.
They have their ticket ready.
So it may cost them $2,700. Right, $2,700, right?
Yeah, and then naturally these are formalities of these things, you know, people can call for full clarity and things like that. I don't mind explaining things like that. But that's, you know, what we have on our website, quote-unquote, so everybody has the same information.
Okay. I got another caller. Let me check. 404, are you there?
Yes, sir. You hear me, brother?
I can hear you very well, brother. Thanks a lot, Brother West, for hanging on.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, I like that, man, because, hey, I want to go to someplace in Africa where I want to see no white dog, man. Okay? Serious, man.
Well, I don't know, Brother West. That could be kind of hard, because the Caucasian is everywhere, as well as the Chinese, as well as the Indians. But what you're going to get through it's Brother Bomani. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bomani.
my concern about Ghana is they took that $20 million from the United States military to build a base over there, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And see, I think the only spot where I heard where another place where we could repatriate, I think Uganda. I think my man Mugabe said we can come over there too.
You talking about Zimbabwe?
Yeah. Zimbabwe, yeah. But that's my plan is, man. I want to go to a spot where the so-called leaders and the president not on the tape from these European and they oppressing the people, man. That's what I'm. And another thing is, you got to take a shot to go over there. I ain't about taking no shots, man.
No, you got to take the shots, brother. You got to take malaria and yellow fever. Is that correct, Brother Mamani?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep, you got to take them. And also, too, you can't drink the water. Those are serious health issues. And not just for you, even for the people there. Your body has been here, and then going there, if you don't take them, you could be subject to serious illness. So it's just, you got to do it until, I can imagine I take the shot, but if I'm there, 5-10 years, I can be used to the water. I could be used to the environment and so forth. And I ain't got to take no shots. I ain't got to be worried about the water. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But at the time you first get there.
I heard a sister that was over there. She was on another program I was listening to that repatriated back over there. And she said what she does is she eat a whole lot of like bitter food, like garlic and everything, so the mosquitoes and stuff won't bite her.
Right.
If you eat the right foods, they're like garlic and something else. She said, well, the mosquitoes won't even bite you. Therefore, you won't get malaria and none of that.
Well, that I can't really speak to, but maybe Brother Bamani, you have any information on that?
And you're talking about our vaccination, right?
Right. He's talking about vaccinations. And also, too, if you're there for extended time where you start to eat particular foods that you become, you're not as susceptible to mosquitoes and malaria or yellow fever or other problems that you may have if you're not.
Well, perfect. Thanks for the clarity. As far as that, it's a natural form once your body get used to the country and everything and you start doing things, you'll get more, like I was born in Jamaica and I feel, when I get to Ghana, it's like, I feel like it's just my climate and I'm still literally just used to that. So that's what most of us have to do, is spend more time there and get used to that climate. And definitely once you start eating off the land, eating from the ground and, you're eating, you're going to, your body is going to fall into a line to where you're good to go. So now health and wellness is a situation where, you can eat a more, you can eat and have a more natural life and have less health issues. So, which in general is going to make your body stronger in the country. So that's one of those things where our body just go back to where it naturally was, and that's why we have all of these health issues in this country, because we eat and we have a diet that's not us.
Right. Now, because we coming from here, going to Ghana on the trip, and are there any provisions for health? Is there any provisions that in case somebody needs medical attention and so forth?
Yes, we have access to when you have doctors and you do have hospitals, and all areas where we're going to are very popular areas in Ghana and popular tourist routes. So that's that's the provision you have. And then in general, you're trying to get everybody to adjust their diet as possible and build their immune system and then stay away from eating certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, some people may have, stomach situation from trying to get used to the water.
Right.
And
right. My suggestion is you bring your stuff with you. If you Imodium and anything else, you bring all of that with you. You have it on your, yeah, that's my suggestion, you know, because I remember I was at One Africa and Sister Amakus made me some tea. Apparently she didn't boil the water good enough, man, because I got sick. I was down for 2 days, man, you know, but.
Some folks have stomach a little strong than others, but definitely, you know, I even have on my departure list, bringing any kind of emergency medication that you may need and things like that. And for the most part, most people are good. It's just some people are more adventurous in eating and doing certain things, and some people slack off on their diet a little bit more, and they're usually the ones that have those issues.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because over there is right over there where God made everything, man. So I'm quite sure you find a plant or something, a herb that's natural. Because I know Steve Coakley's son, he over there, he came up with some vitamins and some herbs that he's selling. And also Jackie Robinson's son, he over in, Congo.
No, he's in Tanzania. Jackie Robinson's son is in Tanzania. He is a coffee grower.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, there's some, you know, beautiful people, man, that are doing great things from the States who are now living there. So, I mean, the examples are there. You know, the thing is that we need to expose more and more of our people, you know, to Africa and possibly the ability to invest in Africa. And more importantly for me, to return to Africa, to repatriate,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, that's what I look at, you know. So, Brother Bomani and other callers, and we thank you. Got some closing remarks for me, dear brother?
Family, for those who are interested in traveling with us to Africa, visit our website, africafortheafricans.org. You can also connect with me directly via phone / text 404-931-9429 and via email afta2010@msn.com. And visit our social sites, youtube.com/Bomani2007 to see a list of all of our videos that are over the last 12 years traveling around different parts of Africa.
Outstanding. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate it. We're about to close out, and I appreciate all those who have listened and called in, especially you, my friend Marquita. I appreciate you calling in, dear. I sure do. Believe me, I do. I appreciate that. And, of course, Wes and all the other listeners. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. It is us. It is for us, and it's our return. Brothers and sisters, we have all that we need. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia, family, peace.